You're listening to the Zipline Logistics Truck Yeah podcast, where we explore all kinds of hot topics in the logistics industry. Get ready to learn, laugh, and get your freight on.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to another mini-sode of the Zipline Logistics podcast. My name is Jesse Jewett. Joined with me, as always, our Director of Training and Development, Teddy Lee Knox. Teddy,
hello.
Hello.
We're talking ports. We're talking strikes. We're talking labor agreements.
Yep.
That's exciting. Yeah, there was an agreement reached back in October of 2024, but it was tentative based on some other...
And partial.
Partial agreement based on some other compromises, if you will.
Yep.
We are recording this on January 10th. There was a potential strike that was going to happen starting on January 15th.
Mm-hmm.
Fly the banner. Mission accomplished. Both sides of the ILA, that's the International Longshoremen Association, and the USMX, the United States Marine Alliance.
Yep.
Have come to an agreement to ratify their 6-year contract.
Correct.
Okay. And so the things that were potentially being pushed back upon were around automation.
Mm-hmm.
We're going to call it technology.
Yep.
And then some jobs related to that technology.
Correct.
And both of those things have been successfully completed.
Yes. I think it was interesting reading about this because I can understand both sides of each argument for this. You know, they want the technology piece of, you know, dealing with drivers calling me while sitting in lines to get into the port for hours because, you know, the crane's not working or this is taking long. Like, there's ways that you can streamline it. But then also not having that human element causes a lot of problems, too. Like, there's a reason that we have workers in the ports. So making sure that balance stays consistent is important.
I agree. It's awesome when two sides come together to what sounds like a mutually beneficial agreement. It certainly is beneficial to the overall health and efficiency of the economy at large.
Yes.
But real quick on the agreement, I'm being told from my sources, one of the technology pieces around semi-automation, rail-mounted gantry cranes and other tech.
Correct.
Thumbs up there.
Yep.
The union wanted guarantees for jobs related to that technology, right? So there was concern that you're going to bring in this technology and the jobs are going to go away. They've got some guarantees around, we are going to bring in this technology. There's going to be jobs tied to said tech. So we need people to learn that tech so that you can use it moving forward. So that's very exciting stuff.
That is.
Along with the 62% pay increase.
Over 6 years. Correct.
It's awesome.
It is awesome. A lot of times we'll bring this up. People will say, why does this matter to me? I don't have anything that goes out of the port, or my customer, or I as a customer, my warehouse is more than the required mileage away from the port. I don't have to deal with unions. Why do I care about this? Or I don't know anything about it.
Yeah.
But I think regardless, this is extremely important for people to use as something that they can create a process within their network. It's important to know.
Listen, if you've read any news stories or listened to anything, certainly over the last 6 months, we'll call it, particularly around the election, you know, imports are a big thing that's tied to tariffs in some ways.
Yeah.
We all know, I'm 42 years old, Teddy, certainly from Detroit, Michigan, where there was a lot of manufacturing. Manufacturing has departed from the domestic United States, roughly. Generally speaking, there's some that are building it back up, but... we bring in goods, they arrive on containers, and those containers need to be processed, checked, and that's done at the ports, which is part of the workers are the ILA, the International Longshoremen Association. Yes. So they're processing all those and getting them out into the domestic transportation network of the United States, either on the rail, either moving them via a drayage carrier into a warehouse, and then from there, the warehouse unloads them, and then it gets put on a truck, or et cetera, et cetera. All the way down the line, and eventually, hopefully, it ends up on your shelf, and then at your house, and then you in your body, yada, yada, yada.
Full circle.
So having that first step open and operating, like I said, effectively and efficiently is critical to the economy overall.
Yeah, I agree. looking at this as like a process oriented thing as a customer or a vendor. I think looking at stuff like this, it really goes in that you need to double check and pay attention to your forecasting and your inventory.
Yeah.
At any point, something can happen with the ports. And it could be, you know, a delay, it could be a snowstorm, it could be a chassis shortage. We've seen a couple different things that happen that impact different ports, regardless of a strike. And that allows you kind of, you need to keep track of your upcoming imports. And I think, you know, having someone who can help you track those things on the ocean as well is a big deal. And making sure that they're actually going to get to the port at the right time.
Mm-hmm.
And then you have the, you know, the time in between of them docking to them actually, you know, hitting the ground, and then all the different terms that would come with the port that are different terms when you're looking at over the road that you need to understand. So that allows you to really create a process that allows you to get things out of the ports quickly. First of all, making appointments at the ports quickly, getting mm-hmm. them out of the ports quickly, inbounded. And then it's also important to return it to the ports just as quickly. Like,
yes,
usually
indeed.
24 to 48 hours from the time that you pull it out, you need to get it back. And you need
quick
to,
turnarounds.
You need to avoid those things because, again, you know, you keeping 25 chassis out may not seem like a big deal, but that can cause a lot of problems for you as an individual and for the ports long term if everybody's doing that. And that process is going to keep you efficient. It's going to keep your inventory on point, and it's going to allow you to service your customers even if an issue occurs. If there's a delay, you have enough inventory to get you through for a couple months for a couple customers. Through, you know, like maybe your sales go through the roof and forecasting goes up. You need to prepare for those things. And then that lastly goes into keeping up your communication with your buyers about your orders. If you have a lot of CPUs, your inventory is key there. Your warehouse's availability to fulfill those orders is also key. So making sure that you have everything in line. And again, all of this comes back from a fulfillment and inventory standpoint. Having the process to do those things makes the whole process so much easier, eliminates all that white noise, and allows you to focus on what's most important is those relationships with the retailers buying your products and, you know, happy with what they're seeing, happy with what they're getting.
Get it on the shelf.
Yep.
If you want to talk to an expert, please reach out to us at 888-GO-ZIPLINE. We've handled these types of issues or hiccups or hurdles regarding inbound containers to the United States, actually outbound as well, mm-hmm. exports all the time. There's no problems. We'll knock it out of the park. As always, hop onto Apple and Spotify. Leave us a review. Thanks for joining us in another episode, another mini-sode of the Zipline Logistics podcast. We'll see you next time. Thanks, Teddy.